This morning I will be reading from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Mark 16, 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And from 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of his brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born, for I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed." This ends the reading of God's holy word.
As another aspect of our Easter celebration, it is because he lives that we celebrate on this Easter morning. No matter how our concerns and our worries trouble us, we can enjoy today and face tomorrow because he lives. We need to cherish the message of that hymn. We must claim the real truth of that refrain expressed in those 9 words: life is worth the living just because he lives. A year ago, April 12th, 2020, on Easter morning, this chancel area looked pretty much the same. The wood cross was in place. It was draped with flowers and the white cloth. The base of it was covered just like it is this year with all the lilies and the daffodils and the tulips and the hyacinths, all in their beautiful array of color. But that was about all that was the same. Last year, as you know, a different year, there were only 11 people in the sanctuary. Four vocalists that not only sang, but they doubled on the handbells, on the trumpet, two additional vocalists that helped, two Facebook techs, one sound tech, one accompanist, one pastor. There were special pieces of music shared by video clips from recordings of previous Easters. There was no sunrise service, no Easter breakfast, no Sunday school, no JYF Easter egg hunt. Although this was hidden on the property somewhere for the children to find throughout the week in a couple of different places. Yes, it was a different year. It was a different celebration of Easter last year. Yet, it was still Easter. It was still a glorious day. Christians around the area, Christians around the state, believers around the country, around the world, Christians worshiped the risen Savior. The great Easter hymns of Christ arose and Christ the Lord is risen today echoed throughout God's kingdom. And maybe there were a few more congregations than just St. John's to sing that lively Easter song, "Every morning is Easter morning from now on." But back in the days of Jesus, it had been a different year for him too that year. And for those first disciples of his, it was a different year that year for them too, that year so long ago. They had made their way towards Jerusalem for the annual feast of the Passover, as was their custom, as was the custom of Jesus. Luke 2:41 informs us that Joseph and Mary went to Jerusalem every year for the feast of the Passover. Luke 2:42 adds that when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. And then as years went by, as a man engaged in his public ministry, shortly after his first miraculous sign, when Jesus turned water into wine at the wedding feast in Cana. And then in John 2:13, it indicates when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. So it was certainly normal that Jesus and his disciples traveled to Jerusalem each year to observe the Passover. That was the meal that they had sat down to eat together in the upper room that year. But that's when things got different. That's when everything changed, marking a vastly different year for them. Everything was different. In the midst of the customary ritual of the Passover meal, an annual observance set forth in the book of Numbers, chapter 9, Jesus changed things. He instituted a new meal, a different meal of remembrance, one that Christians celebrate as the sacrament of communion. And then the differences continued after the meal, for Judas would betray. Peter would deny. Jesus would be arrested and tried and convicted and crucified. He was buried. Yes, indeed, it was a vastly different year for those disciples, and certainly for Jesus himself that year. That vastly different year culminated in the life-changing, world-changing, kingdom-changing good news Christians have celebrated ever since. Every Easter morning, the life-giving news that graces every day of a Christian's life. The tomb was empty. Christ arose. Jesus is alive. He has risen from the dead. Let's catch a glimpse of that scene through this video clip from the movie The Son of God.
Who are you looking for?
If you've taken him, tell me where he is.
Mary.
Teacher?
Go and tell our brothers. I am here.
Is open. He's alive.
That's not possible.
I saw him.
Mary, maybe it was someone else.
You think I'm mad? Peter, see the tomb for yourself. Now, do you believe me?
But he's gone.
Gone? No. He's back.
I have to admit, the first time I saw that clip, I was so thankful they didn't say, "I'm back." And we'll just let that settle there for any of you that know some old movies. But because Jesus was back, promising to be with his followers always, no matter how different last year was, or how different this year still is, or how different next year may be, let's cherish the difference the resurrection of Jesus Christ creates in our hearts for each and every year of life. The reminder Paul offered in his letter to the Corinthians that we've heard read from 1 Corinthians 15, it provides a great summary of the Easter message. He wrote, "I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. It is on the scriptures that we believe. That is what we take our stand on in the promise of Easter. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. I believe the Christian church is going to come out of this pandemic just fine, whenever it all might have work out, because we hold firmly to the good news of the gospel that Jesus Christ loves us. He came to rechange our hearts, to renew our hearts, as we hold firmly to the word that is preached to us through the gospel. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance." First importance, this is what it's about. of first importance is how it sets the rest of our days. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That's why he died, for our sins. He loves us. He doesn't want us to carry those sins around. He wants us to be freed from those sins. That he was buried. That he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Those disciples heard it firsthand of what was going to happen. We have the scriptures to read about what happened. That he appeared to Peter. And then he appeared to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. And then he appeared to James, and then to all of the apostles. Jesus appeared. It is true that he is alive. And then Paul writes, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one who was abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. And yet Paul, maybe is one of the greatest examples of scripture of what can happen to us. For when we sin, we persecute our Lord. When we sin, we pull away from God's love. And Paul, in his persecution, was speaking against, acting against, working against God. But the Lord got a hold of Paul's heart, and that change occurred. And Paul, as one abnormally born, the Lord reached down and called and changed his heart. And Paul became the missionary of the Christian church to set us an example of each and every one of us can change from a life of sin. Come into the glory and the light of Jesus Christ. And so we're thankful on this Easter for that grace of Jesus Christ. We are washed clean, and we're empowered to look at everyone else that we meet with those same eyes of love, of no matter what they have done, of who they have hurt, how they have hurt themselves. The Lord can get a hold of their heart and recreate and change through his grace. Verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. The grace had great effect on Paul's heart. And if we're honest, on each of our hearts. And Paul says, I worked harder than all of them. It takes effort. Yet not I, Paul says, but the grace of God that was with me. A week ago, I got to preach to my brother and my four sisters. I don't know that they've heard me ever preach all at one time. And you know, that prophet is without honor in their own hometown because they know what I was like when we used to live together. I was not a kind, gentle soul like you see before you when I was 16 or 14. And I got to share with them, and they've got to see some of those changes, not I, but God's grace worked in my heart. I'm no longer that conceited little brother that had to stir things up and then leave the room. And over the course of the last month, the siblings, we've expressed our love for one another in new and more and different ways. That is the grace of God that is within each one of us. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. See, Paul is reminding the Corinthians of what he's preached before and what they have believed. So we preach what we know or what we're hearing maybe for the first time, and we'll remind one another in the future. Last year's and this year's different year. It reminded me of a book my mother gave me when I was still in high school. It's titled Next Year Country. The author describes the pleasures and the hardships of a rancher's life experienced on a Montana ranch. Generations of enduring ranch life through droughts and hailstorms, through range fryers and grasshoppers and financial struggles. Through it all, the generations, they lived lives of hope with the promise of tomorrow, surviving on little more than faith, drawing upon the teachings of Scripture, such as from Proverbs 12:11, "He who works his land will have abundant food." Or from Psalm 57:1, "I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed." We take shelter in God's wings until the disaster, until the pandemic, until the death, until the hospital stay, until the relationship problems pass. We take that shelter, we take that refuge, knowing that the grace of God is alive and active because He is alive and active. Amen. May the grace of God, may the love of Jesus Christ, who came out of that grave for each one of us and for all people of the world who have been and ever will be, may that love and grace fill your hearts this day as we praise our glorious and mighty God. Amen.
For our closing hymn, I invite you to rise as you're able and proclaim, "He lives."